Well, this evening, we're hosted by Longmeadow Church over on the Broadwater Estate. I hope you've enjoyed a free drink on us. And we've got a short question to think about this evening. You might have noticed your discussion questions on your tables. We're thinking about the question, was Jesus real? We're very grateful to the staff here for staying open for us. I'm just going to speak for about 5 or 10 minutes on that on that subject, and there will be an opportunity for you to chat through your thoughts on it afterwards. Julie Andrews gave some very wise advice from the set of The Sound of Music. She said, let's start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. I won't be seeing it, you're quite all right. And that's what our question this evening is doing. Before we go any further in talking about this whole Christianity lark, let's get one thing straight. Was Jesus real? And that's an important question, because the whole foundation of what Christians believe is this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who lived, breathed, spoke, died, and rose again about 2,000 years ago. That means the answer to the question, was Jesus real, matters. Or does it? Because there are some people for whom the question, is Jesus real, is not actually that important, because what they're interested in is not who Jesus is, but what he said. Things like love one another, or do good to others, or don't judge others, or show compassion to those less fortunate than yourself. It's hard actually to find a more attractive set of ethical teachings than the one that Jesus spoke. So we might well say, well, why don't we just focus on those? If we concentrate on loving one another more, this will be a better world. Does it really matter who said it? Well, yes, it does. Because in the end, Christianity is not about a moral framework of how to live, although it does matter how you live. Nor is it a philosophy of life that you might choose to follow, although it will shape your thinking. In the end, Christianity is about a relationship. It's about knowing and being known. It's about saying sorry for rejecting someone and being forgiven by them. It's about living for someone else and being accepted, celebrated, and changed by them. And that someone is Jesus. Which means the question, was he real, is really very important indeed. And the simple answer is, yes. The existence, the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth is not disputed by any historian of any note whatsoever, be they Christian or atheist, be they of any faith or of none. And perhaps more significantly, no ancient historian writing in the immediate aftermath of his life denies his existence either. So take the Roman historian Tacitus, who wrote the Annals of Imperial Rome. He wrote this history in about 110 AD or so. He writes an extensive history of the Roman Empire, and he says this during the reign of the Emperor Nero in the 60s AD, some 30 years or so after Jesus lived. Now, during Nero's reign, there was a great fire in Rome, and there were suspicions that he'd arranged that fire in order to burn down some of the slums of Rome so that he could build magnificent buildings which would glorify him afterwards. So Tacitus has this to say. To suppress this rumour of Nero himself burning the town down, Nero fabricated scapegoats and punished with every refinement the notoriously depraved Christians, as they were popularly called. Their originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius's reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilatus. But in spite of this temporary setback, the deadly superstition had broken out afresh, not only in Judea, where the mischief started, but even in Rome. All degraded and shameful practices collect and flourish in the capital. Now, Tacitus was no Christian. Notice that he calls Christianity a deadly superstition and a mischief, and an example of the degraded and shameful practices which were so common in Rome. But equally notice that he doesn't deny the existence of Jesus. And in fact, he confirms that he lived in the Roman province of Judea and was executed by the governor of that province, Pontius Pilate. Now, Suetonius, Tacitus isn't alone amongst ancient historians in confirming the existence of Jesus. So Suetonius, in his Lives of the Caesars, confirms that Christianity was started by a man called Crestus, and he was executed by Rome. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, mentions the claims of his miracles and the claims of his resurrection. So there's no question that Jesus was a real historical figure. But none of that, of course, means that he's worth necessarily following, does it? Or committing your life to, much less worshipping as God himself. In fact, actually, we might think that the whole idea of a relationship with this man is somewhat ridiculous, given that he lived 2,000 years ago. Unless, of course, that isn't the end of the story. Pliny the Younger, who was the governor of Bithynia, which is on the black coast of modern-day Turkey, he wrote in AD 112 to the Emperor Trajan, he of the Wall fame, and he was asking for advice on how to punish people who called themselves Christians. So it's safe to say then that Pliny was not a great fan of them. But what he does mention is that these Christians used to worship Christ as if he were a god. So right from the start then, Christians, well, the real Jesus was thought to be God. And that's why Christianity can never be reduced to a bunch of philosophical ideas or ethical teachings or a moral framework, because the man it all rests on claimed to be God and his followers worshipped him as God. And that means that the person of Jesus is front and central. And the question is not simply, was he real, but was he who he claimed to be? Now, to find out more about those claims, we have to go back to other ancient documents written earlier than either Tacitus or Pliny or any of the others, within a generation of the events that happened, written by eyewitnesses or by those who consulted eyewitnesses. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, there are copies of Luke's Gospel around on your tables, which you're welcome to take away afterwards. Now, because time is short, let me make just two brief comments about those Gospels. Firstly, we have what those Gospel writers originally wrote. So early manuscript evidence for those Gospels is better than for any other ancient source that we have. So we've got fragments of John's Gospel dating right the way back to AD 125. They're in the John Rylands Library in Manchester. You can go and see them. We've got a complete copy of the New Testament from AD 350. It's in the British New Museum. You can go and see it. It's a stunning manuscript. But that's just a fraction of the over 500 manuscripts of the New Testament which date back to those early centuries. Now you compare that to the number of the manuscript evidence that we have for the likes of Pliny and Tacitus, and it is astronomically greater. The evidence for the reliability of the New Testament is overwhelming. We have what is originally written. It's not all been made up in the years since. Now, of course, that doesn't prove that what the Gospel writers wrote was true. But it does mean that we can be confident that we have what they originally wrote. Secondly, those Gospel writers wrote with an agenda. They wrote to convince people that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was God. They didn't hide that. So if you listen to the start of Luke's Gospel, here he says this: "Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught." Or John, at the end of his Gospel, writes this: "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So the Gospel writers believe what they were saying and wanted to convince other people of that too. But the fact that they believe it, that they're biased, they have an agenda, doesn't make what they say any less true. Actually, it means they're really confident that it is true. They're so confident that they will lay out the evidence for you so that you can make your own mind up. Now, the claims that Jesus makes are outrageous because he claims to be God himself. That means it's not just a question of whether he is real or not. No one disputes that he existed. But the real question is, for want of a better phrase, whether he was a fruit loop with delusions of grandeur or whether he actually was God. But you can't leave it with the idea that he was a nice guy who said some good things about how we should love one another more. So can I invite you, after this evening, to take one of these Gospels away and maybe read it yourself. And then you can make your own mind up as to who Jesus is, because there's no bigger question than this one. See, Jesus was real, a real historical figure 2,000 years ago. The question is, was he really God? Because if he was, then you can't just ignore him. You have to recognize him and make him your king. Because most astonishingly and wonderfully of all, each of these Gospels finishes with an account of his resurrection from the dead. Which means that his story didn't finish 2,000 years ago, but it carries on today. But more even than that, because if Jesus really was God, then God is knowable. God is knowable. God made the effort to come down to earth to show us what he is like. God came to offer us relationship with himself, to know and to be known, to offer forgiveness for our rejection and ignoring of him and our mistreatment of others, to bring acceptance and change, to offer relationship with the one who made us, and to offer hope for the future. Now there are Christians here who will tell you about the reality of their own relationship with Jesus. Do take the opportunity to ask them questions about it. And do take a copy of Luke's Gospel. They're free. There are some of John's Gospel as well, if you'd like one of those too. And see what you make of the Jesus that you meet there as you read it through. Then you can make up your own mind. He claimed to be God. He came to offer forgiveness and acceptance and change. And there's no more wonderful thing if that's true. Which means there's no more bigger there's no bigger question than this one. Was Jesus for real?